Dear ones, I'd like to read with God's help from the prophet Isaiah, chapter number 55. The prophet Isaiah, chapter number 55. Želim da se pročita iz proroka Isaije 55. glava. Proroka Isaije 55. glava. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your souls shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things wherein I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This chapter is a beautiful call. It's a call of God. The first verse that opens this chapter says, ho. And that, if we just consider that as we read the chapter, it is the heart cry of God our Creator. As he's calling to you, young. You know, when we sing the hymn, Blossoming Youth, Thou Art Our Hope and Our Expectation, and you know, there's a lot of life and exuberance and joy in youth. And many of you were gone last week. Many of you went to Colorado, and your absence was felt. We as older now, we have a great delight in youth, the smiles, the happiness, and there's nothing more that we would like to impress upon your young hearts than the ways of the Lord. Because it is in his presence, David says, that there is fullness of joy. And so a young man today will go and seek and wander around and try to capture something of this world to bring him a fulfillment. And he'll go about and he'll avoid the real thing that gives him the fullness of joy. It's in Christ Jesus. And so, as we listen to the heart cry of God today in this chapter, the invitation, as it is often called, the invitation of God, we pray that your hearts would really be open and consider what our Lord is calling you to and taking you out of. And this call isn't only for the youth, it is for all of us. There's words that are spoken here that are for the those who have not yet given their heart to the Lord, and there's words here for those of us who have. There's some of us who have wandered away, wandered down paths that are darkened by sin. And God is calling all of us to come to me, he says, because it is in his presence, in his presence alone, that we can find that which is the deep yearning of our soul. And the prophet Isaiah, as he writes, as he prophesies of the salvation that is to be offered and given, this chapter could never have been written without chapter 53. With chapter 53, where he speaks of the suffering of our Savior, the one who came and suffered. He died and he bled for our sins, for our transgressions. He took them upon himself. And he died because of his love for you, my dear soul, outside of Christ. What a terrible thought to think that that's the term that you could describe yourself. I am outside of Christ. Well, if I am outside of Christ, who am I in? The devil. That's an awful thought. And so the invitation says, everyone that thirsteth, come. Come to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come. Again, we keep hearing, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. He's speaking of water. Jesus says that he is the water of life. He is the life giver and life sustainer. And we know of water as that. He says, come. Where will we go to get water? To him. Where will we go to get milk, this nourishment? He speaks of a nourishment. Where is that going to come from? All blessings and life comes from Jesus himself. And he says, come to me. Don't seek to quench your thirsty soul with, you're buying right now things that are, he said, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why are you putting so much effort into pursuing the things that are in this life to quench your thirst, to nourish your soul, and to give you the exuberance and the joy that can only be found in him? Why are you spending all that effort on those things? He says, come to me. He says, buy of me and eat wine and milk. That joy and exuberance is only found in him. He is the milk. He is the water. He is the wine. It is all in Christ Jesus our Lord, and he is calling us to him. And so there's nothing that we can do outside of him. There is a chasm that he describes later that is so huge, and the sin, our sin has separated us from a living God, a God who loves, who is full of mercy. But sin has separated us. And there's a chasm that divides us that cannot be bridged by none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Calvary. He is that bridge. And he alone that can bring that immeasurable gap that is between you in sin And God, in all his infinite glory. And so, we like to say, the word is used often as, you're sitting on the fence. But I dare say that in this chasm, there is no fence. There is no fence there. You're not sitting on the fence. You're in the world. You're separated from God entirely. And so that's why it brings our hearts so much joy when we see you here. Why? Because you can hear the call. Not my call. Not the brothers and sisters' call. It's the call of Jesus, your Creator, who is calling you. He says, ho, listen. I'm crying out to you. You don't realize where you are at. You don't know that separation that exists. I, in my infinite sovereignty and wisdom and power and holiness, cannot tolerate and have in my presence sin. And so that's why that chasm is there. It's as wide as the heavens are from the earth, and the east from the west, and so on. He describes those things. But all of that comes together in Jesus Christ. He brings you back to him, to delight, to have delight in all the pursuits of this life are met in him. We find it all in him. And so he says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? You're wanting to eat. You're spending effort, time, pursuing. You buy something. You buy, oh, if only I had this. And you work and work and you do and whatever you can and you obtain it. And the joy fades. It's gone. And now you want something more. There's no satisfaction. You sin and you're going to sin more. And you're going to sin more because the little sin that you deem little is not enough. And you pursue and you want and you desire those things which can never satisfy. And so he says, why are you spending your money, your efforts? Why are you in the pursuit of those things which can satisfy you not? He says, you're laboring for that which satisfieth not. Do you ever think about that? Do we ever think about that? When we are tempted with sin, we are tempted to fall into sin, to follow after sin, and to think there's no satisfaction in that. It's for a fleeting second. You know, if we just look at our lifespan, whatever it might be, 50, 80, 100 years, that moment, that fleeting moment of pleasure, if we can even call it that, that moment is so brief in a life. Now, how brief is it in eternity? And that brief moment is what separates you from God and his mercy that he wants to bestow upon you and show you how much he loves you and desires you and desires of you to come to him. And so he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, hearken diligently unto me. Listen to me. You're going to listen. If you listen to Jesus, you're listening to the one who created everything. You know that. But you're listening to the one who's never lied. You know that. You're listening to the one who loves you more than your mom and dad loves you. Who loves you with a love that the Bible describes as many waters cannot quench. It's a burning desire and love for you that you cannot feel on this earth outside of him. So he says, listen to me. I have an interest in you. My interest in you was such that I took your sin and I suffered for it because I want to bring you back unto me. And so he says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, in the goodness of God. Delight in those things. Eat of those things. Feed on me is what Jesus is saying. I am that. I am the bread of life. I am the water. I am this wine and the milk that nourishes and fulfills every one of your desires. Come to me. Hearken diligently. Don't listen haphazardly. Diligently listen. Why? Because Jesus Christ is talking and calling you. You remember the blind man is sitting in, was it in Jericho? He's sitting in, and he hears a noise. The blind man, yes, because he hears a noise and the commotion. And he says, they tell him Jesus Christ of Nazareth is passing by, and he says, have mercy on me. They says, shh, quiet, quiet. And he cries even louder, have mercy on me. Now Jesus stopped. If you look in the scriptures, Jesus never turned away from a cry of help. He never forsook anyone who came to him and asked him, help me. He healed. He gave life. He did always hearken unto the cry of the helpless. And this man was told, your faith has given you sight. Your faith in me. Now, you might be here today, and Jesus Christ is passing by. Jesus Christ is calling, and he says, hearken diligently. If that blind man listened to the throngs around him, shh, not now. If you're listening to the throngs that are around you, not now. That's a great call. Wow, the Lord really does love me. Okay, I'll put that on the back burner. I'm going to think about that a little bit. And when it's in my time, then I'm going to come. You know, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem when he passed by that man. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem he went to Calvary. He never came back. If that man didn't cry out at that moment, he never would have received his sight. He never would have heard those divine words that fell from the lips of Jesus, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so he says, hearken diligently, come unto me that your soul would find its delight in me. Because you won't find it outside of me, he says. It's not there. That is so evident. But the lie is so propagated, like the advertisements of Satan, we could call it that. He is advertising right now in your heart. And as soon as you step out of these doors, all of his advertisements of what he is offering are going to come crashing down on us. And what do? When we see advertisements, we see something delicious. Ooh, and it makes us right away crave. Ooh, I want that. I want that. And that's what advertisements are so effective. They place before you that which you have a desire. They make it so good and healthy, and they just put everything they can and pour into that advertisement to get you to come and partake of that. Buy it. You're going to find relief and satisfaction and so on. And so Satan is now advertising to your heart, look at this. I'm going to give you this and this. And so he's going to drown out. He's seeking to drown out the word, ho, all that are thirst, come. So he says, listen diligently, hearken diligently unto me. Incline your ear and come and hear. So when we incline our ear, he says, come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What is he giving and promising here? He says, if you hearken diligently and incline your ear unto me, that means I've heard, I want to hear more. That means now, this isn't the last call that you want to hear. You want to diligently now seek. So in your homes, in your times alone, or when the busyness, when the advertisements of Satan are coming and pouring in all around it, and you're going to take a step back and say, I'm going to find my nourishment in the milk of Jesus, the wine of Jesus, the, the water of Jesus. That's where I'm going to find. He promises that he will make a covenant with me of the sure mercies of David. That covenant that he made with David was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It's an everlasting covenant. He says, I will make that covenant with you too. Hearken diligently, incline your ear unto me. Listen to me. Come. And he goes on later and he tells us he says in verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. While he may be found. Today, I can tell you with an absolute assurance that Jesus Christ can be found today. Because Jesus Christ is calling you. This is his word. You're hearing it. He's calling you. He can be found today. The Bible tells us, harden not your hearts. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. In other words, the advertisements that are pouring in, don't harden your heart and put me on the back burner. But I'm trying to soften your heart, to prick your conscience, to show you that the ways of this world and Satan are leading you to death and destruction and everlasting anguish and pain and separation from me. But I have bridged that gap. But the way is me. So Jesus is telling you, seek me and you will find me. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Follow me. The Lord is pleading today. Think of who is pleading. The Lord Jesus. He is pleading for you to come to me. There's nothing more than as we prayed, the brother prayed that God would give us wisdom. And you know, a lot of times I think wisdom can come to a young man because it is God who gives wisdom. But we who have gone through your phase of life and have experienced many of the things in the pool that you are feeling. And that continues. That never goes away until we close our eyes to this life. But we would like to sometimes impart unto you a wisdom, which is really an experience. An experience that we went through that. We pursued those things too. We sought a joy or a fulfillment in the things of this life and world. And we didn't find anything there. There's nothing there. Every person that sits, a convert who is ready to be baptized, as he sits before the Lord in the congregation, he gives his testimony of his conversion or her conversion. He says, I sought, I couldn't find anything. Some come to that realization at a younger age, some at a later age. But it's all because of what we are putting aside. We're putting aside him. So he says, seek me while I may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know how near he is to you right now? He is right next to you. Now you're going to walk away from him because you're listening to his voice. You're going to walk away from him, but you don't have to. You can keep him in your heart. You can keep him near to you by calling upon him and seeking and say, Lord, and this is what your prayer is. That the Lord would give you the wisdom that we prayed for this morning. He would give you that wisdom to follow him and to give yourselves over unto him. And so he says, and how are you going to come near to him? What is required of you to come to him? He says, let the wicked forsake his way. Let the wicked forsake his way. You see, when as we read, he says, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but it watereth the earth. So when the water comes down, it waters the earth, the dust of the earth and its dryness, and it waters it, and it brings forth, and it says here, and it brings forth and gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater. It blossoms and it brings forth fruit. But that water is our Lord Jesus, who he says here, as the rain cometh, so my word shall be. My word is coming down to you right now. Let it fall upon your heart And in your heart, as it meets your heart and the desires to come to him, it will bring forth, he will, his word, his power, and his might. As you forsake your ways, as you realize that the advertisements of the devil are there to just allure and take you away and drift you away from him, as you realize those things, the things that are wicked, and you forsake those things. And it says, and the unrighteous man, his thoughts, forsake your thoughts. And this call, again, why did I say that it is for everyone here? I know I'm focusing it on the youth and those who have not made a covenant with the Lord, but it's for all of us here. Tell me you've never had an unrighteous thought, brother. Of course we have. But what is Jesus saying that? He doesn't say remain in those things. Yeah, it's okay. Remain in that unrighteousness. He says, come out of that. Come to me. Seek me. I'm still here. I didn't forsake you, though you are forsaking me. I'm still calling to you in mercy and love. Come to me. And so he says, let the wicked forsake his way and an unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him, what? Return. Return unto the Lord. You know, have you ever prayed to the Lord? And you pray, Lord, give me strength. Give me wisdom. Give me a heart. Give me abilities to forsake, even as we are planning to sin. Now, does God hear that? Will God hear that? Will he honor that? I'm planning. I have plans to do something. I have plans to go where I don't belong, where I cannot glorify him. I'm going to do those things. And I'm not going to think about whether that's an advertisement from the devil or not. I'm going to go because I want to go. And I'm going to go there. And I'm going to excuse why I'm there. And Jesus says, return to me. In my presence, I think it's in Psalm 16, thou wilt show me the path of life. Jesus says, I am the way. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. It is him. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It's not fleeting. It's not a moment. It's forever. And those are the things that Jesus is now calling us, the unrighteous thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. Forsake those things. And what does he say? He said, he'll have mercy. He'll have mercy upon him. And he will abundantly pardon. He will forget your sin. What a blessed promise, brothers and sisters, for you and for me. What a blessed promise for you, my dear friend, outside of Jesus Christ. He will abundantly, not just a little bit of pardon, abundantly. He will forget. I can't even understand that God can forget our sins. That's what he says. That's what he says. He will forget him. And so he said, what he says, so why are you to forsake your thoughts, your unrighteous thoughts? He goes, because my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. And so you have to forsake his way. The wicked must forsake his way. Because the Lord's way is not our way. A man has to forsake his thoughts. The unrighteous man has to forsake his thoughts. Why? Because my thoughts are not his thoughts. And so my thoughts, my ways get in the ways of his thoughts and his ways. He said, thou wilt show me the path of life. And so, as far as the heaven is higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And this is what he says, so shall my word come down. So shall my word be that goeth forth, that comes down. So as the heaven is so far from the earth, as my ways are so far from you and your ways, I will visit you. I will come down to you and meet you as the rain meets the dust and brings life. He says, I will come. My word will come down to you. My word will come down to you and meet you in your need. I will meet you in your need. And it will not return unto me void. How? Because Jesus will, it will sprout within your heart. And it will bring forth fruit. What will? His word that comes down into your heart. It brings forth a fruit for his glory, for his honor, for your salvation and my salvation. What do you want to hear that's more blessed, more enticing, more full of promise? That can you challenge this word and say, God has not been faithful? He said, but I made a covenant with David. I fulfilled it. I made a covenant with every one of the prophets of old, and I've made a covenant, and I will make a covenant with you that I will never forsake. What can be said to you that is better than that? What can you hear that you want that is going to entice you to bring you a greater longing than that? And he says, so my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. Remember what it said of Jesus in John chapter 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in him was life, and his life was the light of men. So you are in darkness, and this word that came down is life. The word that comes down is light unto men who sit in darkness. And so he says here, my word that goes forth, this light, this life, it's in his word. As it comes down, it will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So what will keep us from that? What will keep us from fulfilling that? Because we have, as we hear of his word that comes, he says, as the rain comes down, it's so welcome. It's so welcoming when we see rain, you know, when our grass is parched and dry, it's brown, it's thirsty, it needs water. And God in his mercy, he opens up the heavens and he pours down his rain. So we are today with a need for, we're parched ground. We need his mercy to open up his heaven and pour out his word, his life and light into our hearts to replenish us and to bring us this fruit that he is desiring and seeking for his glory and for our salvation. And so he's inviting us to come to me. It says of God, God in different times, in different places, it says in sundry times in Hebrews 1:1. It says, God who has sundry time. In all through the ages, at different times, different places, different, he says, in a different manner, he spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. So the prophets were given to speak. This is what Isaiah is speaking here. This is 700 years before Jesus came. Isaiah is speaking and giving this invitation. 700 years earlier, God is speaking through the prophets, and now he says, but now in these last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son. He's spoken unto us by his Son. By who? His Son. And whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory. Think of who is this rain, this word that comes down from heaven. Who is this? It says, by the brightness of his glory, an express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins. This is chapter 53 where it speaks of the suffering Savior. He had purged us of our sins. And he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Beloved, Jesus is saying, my word that goes forth, me, as I come forth to you, I will not return void, but that which your heart is desiring, as you forsake your way, and as you forsake your unrighteous thoughts, I will come in. And he says, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. There's no greater feeling than peace. Peace. Who likes to be anxious, anxiety, overwhelmed, and overridden? Peace. Those advertisements from the devil do not bring you peace. You've never experienced peace in any of it. I guarantee you that. Because I was there. We all were. You don't find peace. Because if you found peace, you'd be content. But you're not. You'll seek more. Because the advertisements keep coming. Oh, this is now more alluring. This is more better. This is more. It's always more and more. And so he says, you will go forth with joy and be led. Not following, not because you've forsaken your ways. So you are being led by Jesus as you follow him. When we follow him, he is leading us. So we are led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. What does that mean? When did the thorn appear? When the curse came. When sin came into the world. The curse came and the thorn appeared. And he says, there shall, instead of that thorn, that curse that is upon you, my dear friend, you are cursed. As all the world is cursed and lays under the curse of God. So God is saying to escape the wrath of a righteous God, of a holy God, you have to flee to who? To him. Come to him. And he says, and he will lead you with joy and peace. And instead of the thorn, instead of this curse, will come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar, shall come up the myrtle tree. He's speaking of a garden instead of the wilderness that we read in chapter or verse 1, where you're thirsting and hungering, and it's a wilderness of want and need. He says, I will fill you now. Instead of all of that, I will give you the myrtle tree and the fir tree, and it shall be to the Lord. It shall be to the Lord. Think about this. Your salvation is to him. An everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What he did in chapter 53 is he laid down his life. And as he bridged that gap. And brought through Calvary and on the cross. As he bridged that gap with him and the curse. He now, your salvation and my salvation, it's for his sake that he died for us, that he gives us our salvation. And it will be memory. It says it will be an everlasting sign. Never cease, never go away when we forsake our ways and follow him. My dear ones, Jesus Christ is passing by. And he may not come again for you. Because the advertisements of this world may take you away from him where he doesn't walk. He never came back through to Jerusalem. As he walked to Jerusalem, never came back through to Jericho. And so when you give your heart, when you forsake, you come unto him, and the joy that you receive in him and the peace that is found in him is found in his ways. You don't look for advertisements of the world or what I can do to look pretty, what I can do to entice other men and women, and what I can do to flirt and be. You don't look for those things. That's not it. You don't find those in his way. Those are your unrighteous thoughts that we are to forsake. Those are things that we need to put away if we're going to follow him. and to be filled with his joy and with his peace. So it's our desire that the Lord would bless his word upon your heart, upon each of your hearts, and so that we all together would come to that perfect image of Jesus Christ. He can do it. He can do it. Because it's his word that comes from heaven and into our hearts. And he can bring that about. He can do it. May God bless his word upon our hearts in this day. Amen.